Well, while we're waiting for the slide there to come up, there we go. I just want to thank you again for the opportunity to be with you. It's been a privilege and a joy to see you again, and it feels like we would need about a week to catch up and talk with everybody, but it's been wonderful to be here, so thank you for the opportunity. And thank you for all your support over the years and prayers and financial support for the work in Inverness. We just appreciate that very much. But the Lord has done something there, and I wanted to begin tonight with this idea from the Lord and His promise to build His church. And let's see if I can make this work. Oh, there we go. Whoops. Did I do that or did you do that? Okay, I don't know. Has anybody here been to Caesarea Philippi in Israel? Very good. Leonard's been there, maybe a few others. So this is a place in Israel, of course, where in the north of the country, where Jesus was with his disciples, and he was asking them on that day, oh, did I do that? Maybe I should just put that down. There we go. next slide, please. So there's a mountain there in Caesarea Philippi, and when Jesus was there with his disciples, we read about this in Matthew 16, 18, in that area, he was asking his disciples, you know, who do people say that I am? And they were giving him his various answers. And of course, Peter made that amazing profession, you know, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus would respond to that response by saying, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail against it. If you're standing against this face, this rock face in Caesarea Philippi, what you're looking at there is various steps that go up. And there was five temples to pagan deities in this time. Next slide, please. And so, yep, and so you can see here in the rock, there's these little grottos that are cut out. And here's another one up here. The ancient times, there would have been idols sitting in there for people to worship, little statues and figurines of pagan gods. Next slide, please. And this is just an artist's rendition of what that rock face would have looked like in the first century with the different cults that were along this. There was five different cults along the rock face. Up here on the right, it's very interesting. For those of you that have been to Cape Breton, you might know that there's a very famous cafe called the Dancing Goat in Margaree. And if you've ever been there, you'll know how special that place is. Well, interestingly, this cult up here was called the Cult of the Dancing Goat. And I've often wondered, is that the secret to their success? of course not. but here on this side, we have the temple to Pan. And Pan was that half man, half goat, played the flute, right? And this was the temple to Pan. There was a temple here to the Roman emperor. Of course, in first century Rome, Romans were required to worship the emperor as a god. The Jews were exempt from that. But it was pagan worship everywhere. Next slide, please. And in behind the temple of Pan is this cave that exists to this day, and it has always been known as the Gates of Hades. The gates to the underworld behind Pan's temple. And so go back one slide if you don't mind. So imagine Jesus there, okay, in the first century. He's got his disciples with him. And they're walking here. And there's thousands of people milling about in religious exercise. And they're under Roman occupation. And he asks them these questions. And he makes this statement. He says, I'm going to build a church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And perhaps, don't know for sure, perhaps he was referring to all of this that they were seeing. This power of Rome that was dominating their country, this pagan worship. And perhaps, I don't know, we don't know, the text doesn't say. I'm speculating. But perhaps those disciples were thinking to themselves, how is this going to happen? You know, look at all of this. All of these thousands of people worshiping all these pagan gods and the power of Rome. And now our rabbi's telling us he's going to build some kind of church. In other words, they were facing opposition, right? The world was against them. And, you know, we live in a day, today, where it seems like we're facing similar times, right? And we can sometimes, you know, as we face the headwinds of our culture today and the things that are coming against us, we can be caused to be fearful and doubtful. And we sometimes wonder, how can we possibly live? How can we possibly proceed? Maybe it's time to just, you know, close the doors and pull the shutters and we'll wait for the end. And yet Jesus' promise remains, beloved. I will build my church. The gates of Hades itself will not prevail against it. And, you know, we can become too inwardly focused and we can lose hope. And I used to be like that. I was of this mindset that, you know, that we're just going down. We're in the end times, and that's just the way it is, and we just got to accept that truth, and we're not going to see anything from this point on except the return of Christ. And then I met Jabe Nicholson, and he changed my perception a lot about these things. And I began to meet others who were engaged in church planting and had a vision to see churches start in new places. And for me at the time, it was a little bit revolutionary. And I'm like, we can do that? I thought we were finished. I thought it was over. But it's not, right? And there's many testimonies. Can I have the next slide, next one? Yeah. It's not, friends. And I want to tell you today, tonight, we're going to just share a story of what the Lord is doing in Inverness, Nova Scotia. And we planted a church there in the fall of 2015. In September, we began our meetings with 11 people in the fire hall. We met there for the first little over a year, and we had Sunday night meetings. That's how we just started, Sunday evenings only. You've heard of Sunday morning only. Well, we were Sunday evening only for the first year, and that way other churches could help support us with music support and technical support. And so we launched in September of 15. And people, even in Cape Breton, were telling us, well, you know, Mark, don't get your hopes up. You know, it's a tough place, and we've never had anything successful happen in this town, and it's a backwater town, and it's got all kinds of problems, and Inverness is known as like a dumpy, dirty little place, you know, and we were kind of like, well, we're here, let's see what happens, you know, and so we began, and after a year, we moved into our second location, and that served us right up until COVID, and We grew kind of slowly in those early years, and when COVID hit, we were probably around 70 in March of 2020. And when COVID hit, I don't know how you guys were feeling about that, but like I was scared. I was like, how does this work, Lord? I mean, it just seems like we're getting started. It just seems like we're getting some traction here, and now we can't even meet anymore. And well, you know the story. They said, well, it's just going to be for 2 weeks. So I said, well, that won't be so bad. But then it goes on month after month after month. And I had doubts and fears in my mind at that time. Lord, how is this going to work? Like, what's going to happen to us? But by God's grace, you know, we got on Zoom like probably a lot of churches did, and we carried on. And when we were allowed to meet again, we couldn't return to the building we were in because that building was a charity under the health authority, and they were not allowed to let outside people in. They wanted to let us back in. They liked the rent check, but they couldn't by law. So we had to scramble, and we just happened to find a little room above the local newspaper. And so we got up there with our measuring tapes, you know, because you got to have social distancing and all of that spacing. And we figured we could get 40 people max in that room. So we went to two services, and I was thinking, man, we're like all those big churches, you know, running two services on Sunday, 40 people each. And we did that for a while. But then we kept growing. And then one Sunday, we had so many people show up, we had to, like, put people in back room. Like, we were way over the capacity. Like, you know, had the authorities come in, we would have been in trouble. And we're like, we got to do something here. And one of our senior ladies said to me, Mark, you need to talk to the United Church. And I didn't want to. I was scared to do that because I felt that they would not like us, that they would view us as competition, that they would say no. And I didn't want to give them that opportunity, but she persisted and she was right. And so I grudgingly agreed to do that. But long story short, they unanimously voted to let us rent this building. We're in it now today, 2.5 years later. And it's been a great relationship ever since we've moved in here. I'll take the next slide. This is going back over 2 years ago when we first started to meet with COVID, of course. Just wanted you to be able to see what it looks like on the interior. It has a balcony level. Next slide. And that's just a look at the stage. And so it's a big church. It seats 335 people. It's very well maintained. And we've just had a really great relationship since we've been in this building. And we're there to this day. And so we can exit that slideshow altogether for now. And so we just continue to grow. And through the COVID years, we grew 30% per year in people and giving. and we saw no slowdown whatsoever, and we saw how the Lord worked through COVID in salvation, and COVID didn't stop the church. I know that some of us may have felt, and we struggled with that too. Well, you know, how can the church function? How can it get its message out there? And so when we went online, in those early years, we were getting 900 plus views a week. Never hit quite 1,000, but just under 1,000 views per week in the early years of COVID. And that really surprised us because there's only 1,400 people in Inverness. And unless people leave comments on your Facebook stream, you don't know where they're watching from, right? So I think it's like a 3 or 5 second view as a minimum gets you a view on that screen. But we did know of a few people. And so in the, I was sharing with Dave and Dixie at lunch today, a couple of years ago, one of our men, some of you might know Trevor Ross, he had a cancer diagnosis, and we were grieved, of course, and we just felt that Sunday morning, we took a mic stand and put it down on the floor, and we said, we're just going to have a special prayer time for Trevor, and anybody that wants to come, will you just come, we're just going to pray for Trevor. And that morning, there was a young lady in the church who had never, we'd never seen her before, and she marched straight down for the mic, and I'm thinking, well, this should be interesting. But she just prayed for Trevor, and then she took her seat, and long story short, we baptized her 2 months later. So she was in Halifax during the lockdown, and her father was passing away, and her boss was a believer and gave her a Bible. She read that Bible and got saved in her apartment as she read the scriptures herself. Started to look online, found us, moved to Inverness, and contacted a friend that she had gone to high school with, who is now a school teacher in the U.S., and said, hey, I'm thinking of going to Inverness Church. Have you ever heard of it? What do you think? And her friend, it just so happens, her parents attend our church. And she says, well, I think you should go. My mom and dad go there. And so she came to us, and the Lord worked in her life through COVID. We had other people that found us online and said, when this is over, we're going to come, and they're with us today. And so we saw how God, you know, worked through COVID. It didn't stop him at all. And so when we think about the Lord's promise, I will build my church, it doesn't matter what the government does. It doesn't matter what the culture's doing. It doesn't matter what is going on in this world. Friends, nothing can stop the work of God. And he calls us to join him in that mission. And I really believe the choice is set before us. And we can say, well, we're just going to give up and sit down. Or we can get engaged. And we can head out there into the battle on our knees, advancing in prayer, and see what the Lord will do with people who are willing to go and who are surrendered to him. And so the story of Inverness Church is the story of the Lord Jesus. It's his work. It's not ours. And so over that time, so now, you know, fast forward, and we're going to fill this story in, but just to give you the numbers now, so now we're 150. 11 people to 150 in 8 years. We have 6 elders, a full-time youth pastor on staff, a children's worship pastor, a worship leader, and a women's ministry director who's a missionary from South Carolina, paid for by their church. And so the Lord has been adding and growing and growing and growing. And we have active women's studies and men's discipleship groups, kids clubs, youth groups, prayer meetings, all of that is going on. And the Lord has just blessed and is continuing to add. We have not seen any slowdown, and almost every month we have visitors, new people that come to check us out, not every week, but every month. And just last Sunday, we had 2 that came out, and both said they would like, well, one actually, she struggles with anxiety, and she didn't follow through, but she was hoping that she would get past that and come for the first time today. I haven't checked to see if she showed up or not, but the other lady said she was definitely coming back if her work schedule permitted. So we have regular people coming, new visitors all the time, unbelievers for sure, and we have them sitting in our congregation on a regular basis, and we praise God for that because we want people to come, whoever they are, whatever they are, and to hear the good news and to be transformed by it. So we welcome everyone. And our prayer has been from the beginning for us as the Lord's people that we would love God and love one another in such a way that the world will know that we are his disciples. That's what Jesus said, that we should love one another in such a way that people would know that we belong to him. And when unbelievers come in amongst us and those who don't know the Lord, and they see this extravagant love that the Christians have for one another, that's a testimony that we know the Lord Jesus and that we follow him. And then our prayer for people who come in through the doors, and we pray every week. And our constant prayer is that, Lord, whoever comes in today, let them meet with you. Let them know that you are here. Let them see the love of God and to feel that in their hearts and in their souls. And we could share lots of testimonies of people who have told us just that. And we praise God for that. You know, as we think about church and, you know, how we do our ministry and how we design our services and all the things that we do, as I was sharing with Dave and Dixie, here's the number one consideration: Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. Now, I know he was talking about the cross, but I do believe in a very real sense, as we as the Lord's people lift him in our praise, in our worship, in our preaching, in our lives, as he is lifted up, that's the drawing card, you see, because he is amazing. I'm not. He is, and we want people to encounter him. And so as the Lord's people, we want to lift Jesus very high in our midst and bring him up before everybody's view and present him to the world, because he is the drawing card. It's about him and it's his work. And so we have adopted an approach in Inverness that we would just call missional. And I know you guys are doing similar things over here. I've heard stories already. And what that means really is just a buzzword that means that we're just trying to demonstrate the love of God to people in very practical ways. I really believe we're in the days where, you know, we have to show people what God's love looks like in tangible ways. Yes, we have an important truth message to share with people, and we're not minimizing that. We have to get that message out there. But there's the way that message is conveyed. We talked about that Saturday morning with the men. We want to convey that message in the character of Christ as he would do it. And we want to do it in tangible ways so that people can experience what the love of God can mean in practical terms. Because we live in a very post-Christian Canada, you know, and more people don't have a memory of Christianity. And many newcomers have no context of Christianity, right? And so we want to show people God's love. So, over the years, we have had partners, especially in the early days when we were much smaller and couldn't do this ourselves. We had partners that would enable us through sending teams and resources to help us do project work for people in town. And so we began by trying to find homeowners who were not well off, who needed some work done that we could do for them on their behalf. And so there's one particular family that we approached, and we knew them. We knew that they owned the home. We knew that they didn't have a lot of finances, and the wife had was a cancer survivor, and to this day, she's, even though she's cancer free, she's never recovered physically. She's just tired all the time. And anyway, we went to this family, and I said, "Listen, is there anything that you guys have a pressing need?" And they said, "Yeah, our exterior door, the front door, the back door, they're rotted out, and we've applied for a government subsidy to get them replaced." I said, "I'll tell you what. We'll replace that for you for no charge. I'll be back in an hour to measure the doors." So I came back an hour later with my measuring tape, and I'm measuring the doors. And they're all sitting there as a family. And they say, "Mark, could we please ask you a question? We don't understand what's going on here. And we just wanted to tell you, like, thank you. But, like, we have no money to pay you for this. And what's going on?" And I said, "Okay, no problem." I said, "Here's the deal." I said, "We're going to pay for the doors and install them, and it won't cost you a penny. Is that okay?" And they're like literally stunned silence. And then they say to me this, "Why? Why would you do that?" And that, beloved, is the key right there, right? When we love people extravagantly, when we demonstrate the love of God in practical ways, they almost always ask us why. And they asked me, "Well, why would you do that?" I said, "Well, because we're Christians and we believe in the Lord Jesus and we want to show his love to you. Because there's a God in heaven who loves you. And we want to show you that love by replacing those doors that you need." Well, we had the team, we replaced the doors. And that just, you know, launched this incredible relationship. And the family became very open to us, and we began to pray with them. Now, to this day, as far as I know, they haven't come to salvation, and they don't attend church because physically they can't. They do watch online. But it created such a relationship that, you know, I was out front one day, just putting out the trash or something, and the husband shouts across the street in front of everybody, "Mark, when are you coming over? We want to pray with you." That's an open invitation. I didn't ask them. They asked me to come and pray. And so we've had subsequent follow-ups with them, and we just trust the Lord's working there, and we just, you know, you have to have a long-term view. You know, you just have to have a long-term view in 2023. We can't expect just, you know, multitudes to come to faith tomorrow. Maybe they will. Praise God, we hope for that kind of thing, but we have to have a long-term view. You know, Adoniram Judson, who I believe went to modern-day Indonesia many, many years ago, spent 10 years in that country before he had his first convert. He would have failed most church planning missionary metrics today. But he labored on for 10 years until the first convert. We have to have the long-term view. So even though we haven't seen this family necessarily get saved yet, that's okay. The Lord's at work, and it's an opportunity. It's a touch point. I had another fella, some of you might know, Pierre Chasson in Cape Breton Island. He was born and raised there. He's been preaching the gospel up and down that coast for 40-plus years. When they dug up the foundations of Cape Breton, they found Pierre. And he said to me after that, when he heard that this family invited me to come and pray, he's like, "Mark, I've been trying to get into that house for 30 years, and you're in." They would never let me pass the door. Why is that? Because we replaced their doors. The next year, we went back and built them a huge deck on the back of the house at a cost of $2,500 in materials at our cost so that she could go out and enjoy the sunshine in the mornings, which she wanted to do. It's changed everything with that family. Everything with that family. And now I can go over there anytime and say, "Can I come and pray?" And the door is open every time I go. And so the Lord gave us these kinds of opportunities, and we began to try to bless people. And we have painted entire houses. And we have replaced appliances for families. We have paid people's rent. We have offered to pay people's back taxes when they were about to lose their property. We purchased bicycles for children. And the list goes on. We built a ramp for a lady in a wheelchair. Huge ramp system for her and her family. And in every case, when we say to them, that in every case, they're always saying to me, "Mark, why would you do that?" "Oh, well, let me share with you." You know, there's no rejection. Every time there's an opportunity, there's a touch point. And so the Lord has given us many opportunities. And so we have this mentality. We try to foster it within our church family that we're always on the lookout. And so like I said this morning, right, we encourage people, get on Facebook, flood it with the Word of God, and use it to reach people, right? Most people will say yes to your friend request, even if they've never met you. I know, because I got hundreds of them in town. friend, you know. And then we are looking and scanning for opportunities to serve and to bless and to enter people's lives, right? So a couple of years ago, we saw a single mom, and she had just gone on Facebook and said, "Hey, anybody know how to repair a dryer from 1974? You know, it's shot and we can't afford a new one, and if anybody could help us fix it." I immediately called the other elders and said, "We need to buy that lady a new dryer. Are you good with that?" "Oh yeah, let's get it." So I contacted her and I said, "Hey, we're going to be there tonight with a brand new dryer." She says, "No, you can't do that." She says, "You guys helped pay my rent several years prior," which is true. And I said, "Well, too bad, so sad. We've already paid for it and it's on its way. And we'll be over tonight to install it." And we did. But what we didn't realize is that like two or three families were using that clothes dryer, because in our town there's actually a lot of, you know, poverty, and there's opportunity there. And so she went on Facebook, and another person went on Facebook, and what did they do? Shared this story of how Inverness Church had just blessed them and provided this thing, and it just goes through town like wildfire. We're in a small town of 1,400. So everybody knows everybody's business. Personally, I love that. Works very good for a preacher. Works very good when you're trying to plant a church. As long as you can have a testimony for Christ, it spreads like wildfire. And so we began to have people come up to me. And one of the local bankers one day came across the street. And he's like, "You know, Mark," he says, "we're aware of what you're doing in this town and we're impressed." Now, he's never been to church at all, but he's heard. I was down at the Joint. It's a food truck called the Joint, and great food, by the way. If you're ever in Inverness, I'll put a plug in for them now. And one of the ladies there, you know, took me aside and said, "Mark, we're aware of what you did for that lady. She's a friend of ours, and we're very impressed." And so these kinds of opportunities multiply. I'm at a restaurant one day, and the waitress comes, and we know her. She's a single mom, and I say, "Hey, how's it going? You know, well, you know, not so good. Oh, what's the problem? You know, well, yesterday I was across the road, and I left my float, my fanny pack on the bar over there, and somebody stole my float." So for a waitress, right, the float is the change they carry to make change for customers. I said, "How much did you lose?" She said, $400. I said, "I see." So I called the guys. "Guys, we got to replace that money." And they're like, "Yeah, let's do it." And let's add $100 to bless her. So we wrote her a check for $500. And then she went on Facebook and started talking about what Inverness Church did for her. We're not asking people to do that, by the way. They just tend to do it these days. And then that spreads through town like wildfire. So over the years, the Lord has given us this reputation, and we wanted it. We want that reputation of these very strange born-again people who love people. You know, they may not agree with our faith, and they might think we're a little bit odd, maybe a lot odd. But one thing they know is that we care, we love them, and they can find help with us if they need it. And so we can multiply many of these stories of how the Lord has given us opportunity to enter people's lives. About a year ago, again, just I scan in Facebook on a Saturday morning, another single mother, just moved into the area, don't have a car, we're short of food until Monday, could anybody help us out? Ho-ho! Boom, right down to the grocery store, picked up a carload of groceries, and we were the first ones there in her door with enough groceries for at least a week. And so the point is, we have so many opportunities, beloved, as we look around us, even as a local church, the community that we're in, the people that are around us, you know, how can we show them the love of God in a practical way? How can we love them extravagantly such that they will say to us, "Why?" Because now they've just asked us. You know, and some of you will know this, like 10 years ago, I did tons of street ministry in this city. I was on the streets of Charlottetown often. And downtown here, and working with addicts and other people and sharing the good news. And Leonard and I'll never forget that day, brother, with the guy with the funny colored socks. You remember that? Yeah. Uh-huh. Anyway, you know, and the Lord gave me this idea when I was with Jabe Nicholson in North Carolina to just get a pocket full of gift cards. And to use that, and you know, Jabe Nicholson challenged us. He said, "Brothers and sisters," he said, "open up your wallets and use it for God." And I'm like, "Oh." So I went and got these gift cards. So I did that here in Charlottetown, and I would get gift cards for whatever, maybe Tim Hortons for $5 a card or the local grocery store. And so the approach was I would just walk up to a person on the street and say, "Hey, I got something for you today." And they're like, "What is it?" "Oh, it's $5 for Tim Hortons." And then people have said to me, "Mark, like, have you ever had rejection? How do you deal with rejection?" I never had it. When you offer somebody $5 for Timmy's, they don't say, "Get away from me." They say, "Thanks. Why would you do that?" "Oh, let me share with you why." Because God gave us a gift, a free gift in Christ Jesus. And I just want to demonstrate that today by giving you a gift that you didn't deserve. Somebody else paid for. So there's so many ways, beloved. And perhaps we could think about the people that we live near, the people that we work with, and perhaps something you could consider is think of just even one family that's near you that you don't know really, but you're aware of them. Pray for 30 days and ask God to show you how to enter their life. Don't do anything for 30 days, just pray every day for God to open a door for you to enter that person's life. And when he gives you that, and then after 30 days, knock on the door. And one thing that works really well in our context in Cape Breton is people like to eat, as you can see. And they almost never turn down a dinner invitation, even if they don't know you. And the power of our tables with food. I attended this evangelism training in Halifax a number of years ago. The guy's name was Jeff Vanderstelt. He's got a book called Saturate. And he was challenging us that weekend, and he made the following statements. He said, "Hey guys, you know that nice new shiny truck that you got in your driveway? It's not yours. God's. That refrigerator at home that you have that's full of food, that's not your food. That's God's food. And the point he was trying to make and challenge us with is that the things that God has blessed us with, we are to use in service to the King and to see what we can do to get the good news out to people. And so there's so many ways. And so think about who you know. Ask the Lord to show you a way. Invite them over for supper and just get to know them. On that first meeting, unless they bring it up, don't even try to share the gospel. Just get to know them. Hear their stories. Figure out how you can enter their life. If they ask you the question, absolutely answer it. We need to get there. And figure out how you can enter and intersect their life in a way that's meaningful, that will show them the love of God, that will build that relationship, that will open the door to them asking you the question, why would you do this? Perhaps it's things that we enjoy doing, like hunting. I remember years ago, I went hunting with some of the guys here over at the camp for ducks. I didn't get any that day, but that's okay. We had fun anyway. Thank you to all you people who took me hunting. That was great. But instead of hunting just by myself, maybe I can invite my unsaved friend to go with me and use what I enjoy to build a relationship and to love on that person. Maybe I have a fishing boat, and instead of just always going by myself, I could invite an unsaved neighbor to come. Maybe I enjoy golf, and I could use my golfing to invite the lost to come with me and build that friendship and relationship with people in all ways and in all things. For us as the Lord's people, just to live intentionally. That's all it is. Thinking about, praying about, Lord, how can I reach somebody today? Doesn't mean we have to go down onto the streets or to the street corner. If the Lord calls you to do that, by all means do that. That's fine. But maybe it's just through using our gifts, our talents, the things that we like, the things that we have available that we can bless others with. And as a local church, you know, how can we do ministry in our community that will demonstrate the love of God to people? You're doing that through this snack thing I heard about. Forgive me, I don't know exactly what it is. But the snack thing, right? That's great. That's a point of contact. That's giving to people. And people are always blessed by that, and they will ask you the question, why? And so the Lord has given us these opportunities, and it has led to incredible things in the town of Inverness. And we have this reputation by God's grace. They know that much about us. That I think now it would be hard, unless we really became like acted badly, it would be hard to damage that reputation. It's so strong. But that's just to the Lord's credit, right? And we want to use those opportunities to open doors for new people to come. And then, of course, as I say, we have, I was sharing today, we try to get some people in the doors by sneaky ways too. And we're plotting, you know, how do we get that person to come? And we have a couple in our church, and one of their relatives they were concerned for, and she attends another church, and they said, well, how can we get her to come? And well, she's very skilled at the guitar. You know, and capers love music. My goodness. You know, over there, you know, if we don't have at least a half an hour of music on a Sunday morning, we're going to get complaints. You know what I'm saying? Like, they love music. If we did an hour of music before service, nobody would complain. So music is huge in Cape Breton, and it's just unbelievable. And so I went over to see her, and I said, hey, would you like to come and play with us on a Sunday morning at our church? And she's like, sure, you know? And so anyway, she came and she just played some beautiful Christian music like we would do. And at the end of that service, I mean, she was giving me a hug at how moved she was at what was going on here and the message that was shared and the number of people that were coming, right? We've had, and so there's so many ways, right? How can we invite people to come and have them come in to experience the Lord, right? That we're constantly thinking about this, and so we're trying to be intentional as well. And as people do come in, right, we want to make sure that they're not forgotten, that they have a point of contact, that we have greeted them and grabbed them by the hand and made them understand that we're glad that they have come and that they are welcome here amongst us. And so we, you know, I mean, it's a very minor thing, but we have a gift bag for people, so. We have a guy on the door, and his ministry is, he's our doorman, and he is filled with the joy of the Lord, And he has come to faith in the last few years. And man, I tell you, he excites me. He excites me. And what a prayer warrior too. Anyway, he loves to greet people. And so the way this building is set up, it's right on the edge of the street. There's no real parking at this building. It's, you know, it's they never used to think about parking. And so he's out there, even in the winter, outside, just everybody who goes by, and it's a busy street, actually. It's one of the busiest in town. Come on in. You got to come in today. You're going to get a blessing if you come in here. He's just filled with the joy of the Lord. So everybody who comes in, who's a first-time visitor, gets a gift bag with a Bible and a mug and a pen, you know, all that good stuff, and a brochure that will talk about what we do and how to contact us to make sure we don't lose contact with them, because those points of contact are vital. And so we're trying to use all the media we can through Facebook, through Google, and all of those points of contact as well. And I'm just, I'm convinced, you know, before COVID, we weren't doing that, and people were challenging me. And we've seen the power of it, and we still are seeing 200 to 300 views a week, even with 140 plus people sitting in the pews every week. I don't know who they are, but for example, a few weeks ago, I had a lady approach me and said, you know, she says, I'm so glad that you guys are live streaming. She says, I'd love to come to church, but I can't. I'm on dialysis, and she has to go to the hospital regularly for that. And I just can't get out. I have no energy to get out. And you're the only local church that's online. So thank you. That's my church. And I'm like, whoa, okay. Well, that's cool. Glad that, you know, good to know. A few weeks ago, we were led to pray for a lady. And here's another great way for the community, especially when they see you online doing this. During COVID, we began to start praying for our doctors and our nurses by name during those early months of COVID. And boy, did they appreciate that, because they were listening. And we got the feedback. And so a few weeks ago, there's a lady in our town. She's a school teacher, and she's just beloved in our town. She's a lovely, lovely lady. But she has a brain tumor. And so we were just praying for her by name. We just felt she's never come to us. We don't know her personally. But we were just praying for her publicly. What we didn't know is that her mother was watching, who's also never come to our church. And she contacted a friend who does come and just was pouring out her heart. She said, I was bawling my eyes out because you guys were praying for my daughter. Right? And now she wants to watch every week and keep watching, right? So there's a million ways. The point is this, is Lord, help us to find those ways, right? To show people the love of God in tangible ways so that they will ask the question, why? And so our vision for the building is, so what's happened now is we're renting this facility. We use it 3 times a week. The United Church uses it once every 3 weeks. And so we're there most of the time. But even with these folks, we wanted to establish a reputation. And so a year and a half, there's 2 furnaces. The building is such that we have to shut the furnaces off in the winter between meetings. You cannot keep the heat on, not even minimally. It goes completely off. Now, in Inverness, the temperatures for us are about +5 to -5. That's our normal range. But the building goes to the ambient temperature, and we have electric baseboard, we have 1 washroom, and we have tracer wires on the plumbing, and that's it. So we have to go in Saturday night about 10 o'clock at night, fire up the furnaces, and hopefully get that building up to temperature for Sunday morning, and then we shut it down. Well, their main furnace failed. And that's $10,000. And so we just went to them and said, we're going to pay half. And they're like, why would you do that? Because we don't own the building. We just rent. I said, well, we need it as much as you, and we want to be good tenants, and we want to just bless you in the name of the Lord. So we paid half the cost to replace that furnace. Lately, we had a building inspector come in, and I'll show you why here in a few moments. And he wrote us an order for exit signs. So we put $2,500 into that, our cost, just to bless them and to show them that we care and that we're committed to this place. And even though it's their building, we're prepared to help out and do our share. And so opportunity after opportunity. And I just really believe today that we definitely have to hold out the message of the gospel. We need to do so with the character of Christ. And we need to do it the way Jesus did it. And what did he do? He healed the sick. And he fed the hungry. Even those who came just for the free meal, he still fed them too. And when he sent the 72 out, he said, heal the sick and preach the good news. And we believe these things go together. And especially in 2023, people have heard many things before, but when they see love in action, that changes everything. And so we just believe that that's the way we need to go. And now I want to just show you just a quick video, if you wouldn't mind running that from the back. And this will explain, we need to do some renovations in this building. We have approval to do so, and this video will explain it. Hey everybody, it's Mark Palmer, Inverness Community Church, and we just wanted to prepare a short video to talk to you about the project that we need to do here at the building to create Sunday school space and nursery. Right now, our Sunday school is growing rapidly. We have a lot of new families joining us with little children, and we are in a serious bottleneck situation that if we don't fix soon, we're going to have kids hanging off the walls. So here behind me, we're looking at the back end of the existing structure. And we're going to show you footage in a moment here of the space that's available to us to renovate. However, the number one problem is that we need egress. We need to meet fire code, which means we need a fire escape from the second and third stories. So behind me on this big white wall, we would need to install a fire escape from the second and possibly third stories to meet fire code so that we can then go ahead and renovate and utilize the space. So this is what it looks like outside. I'm kind of standing on a driveway, and we would have to shift this driveway over possibly 6 feet to accommodate for a set of stairs coming down on the outside here to meet the building code. So this is the outside of the building, and we're going to head in here and come with me, and we'll show you what it looks like. Here we are on the inside of the building, about to head upstairs. Normally we have these stairs blocked off because we're required to. We're not allowed to use this space, but I just wanted to show you the existing staircase to the space that we're needing to renovate. So here we are in the first room at the top of the stairs, and as you can see, it's a bit dim in here, and I apologize for that, but we have a lot of work to do. We have to replace flooring in all the rooms. This one is plumbed for a toilet, and we would need to create a, a washroom up here for the children. If you want to just come with me over to here, you can see that in the wall we have a frame here for windows. So in the past, windows did exist in these rooms, but when they replaced the siding on the building, they just simply covered over. So the frames for the windows are still there, which is good news for us. So most of the work here is cosmetic. We need to paint and flooring. And actually, you know what, if you want to just keep that rolling and we can just follow right through here and we can see the space as we go. So as we move into this area, we have a large common room, which would be great for Sunday school. And we have to your left down the hallway here, we have another three full rooms. We'll show you those in a moment. Over here to our right, we have another big room. So out here we have just a huge potential for a large gathering space. And as you can see, you know, it's mostly just cosmetic work here. It's very structurally sound on this level once we have that fire escape. So as we look into here, again, we have another room where we have the frame for the window, which is outstanding. And we have two rooms down at this end, fairly large. And so again, we have the space here to put in the window. So in one of these rooms along this wall, possibly at this end, we would have to put in the fire escape door, put the fire escape down to the ground level, and then we can legally use this space, at which time we need to replace the flooring, fix the walls, which are currently plaster, so we would likely have to drywall over every wall to create a new wall space, and then just mostly decoration type things. And then we have another room down in here that's available as well. And again, our desire is that we would create 2 to 3 dedicated Sunday school rooms, as well as one of these rooms becoming a nursery, and which would meet our needs. So just wanted to give you a quick overview of what the space looks like. We're now going to go up to the third level. Believe it or not, there's a third level, and we have another room, but it's quite dark up there, so we'll restart the video once we get up there. Here we are on the third story, and we have what looks like a miniature gymnasium. In fact, in the past, you can kind of see up here, they even have basketball nets installed. And so again, and we also have just below the net a large frame in for the window, so to connect to the fire escape should be quite straightforward. But this would be, we would like to create this space for like our teens, for our youth space. So again, a very critical space that we need to have. And so again, this room, we would have to do flooring, we'd have to do new walls and a ceiling, definitely. And for all of these rooms on these levels, we'd be looking to possibly put in baseboard heaters as well so that we can just use them room by room in the winter without having to heat the whole structure. So thank you for taking this tour with us, and please pray with us that the Lord will provide what we need to get this work done. Again, we're looking to advance this project as soon as possible so that we can move on with the ministry that God's called us to do. So thank you, and the Lord bless you. Video was done. We've had the building inspectors in, and they're telling us now we may not need the fire escape at all. So depending on how we design the space, which is great news for us, that'll reduce the cost significantly. We have most of the money already raised. That's not the issue. We're just kind of waiting through the winter now and just waiting on the Lord for direction on that. We don't own the building, but the space is critical because I got like 40 kids in Sunday school of every age group in one room. And we have our infants in what we call the closet. It's a little entryway and literally kind of almost like a closet space. That's all we have. So it's kind of a critical factor for the church and for growth. But also for us, our vision is for not just a house of worship, but for a ministry center. And so we want to have things that we can do for the community in the space every day of the week. And one of the big projects we're looking at is creating after-school programming for free. We have a lot of single mothers in town, and there's a, you know, hour or 2 hours between the end of school and the time they get off work, and they have no childcare. There's no daycares in our town, and so it's a critical issue. If we look on Facebook or Kijiji, everybody's always desperate to find childcare. So that's kind of where we're at with the building, but we just trust the Lord for that, and He'll give us direction on what to do, and we're excited for the future. So all of this to say that the Lord is fulfilling His promise, beloved, right? I mean, people said it couldn't be done, that it's never going to happen, and it has happened. And we show no signs of stopping. You know, in the early days, we thought, well, it would be almost impossible to imagine a church with 100, and now we're thinking, man, we got 330 seats. We're going to fill every one of them, and we will not rest until we do. Yes? Once every 3 weeks. No, between Inverness and Strathlorne Parishes, which is another church just outside of town, there's about 20 people left between those two churches. So there's not many left at all. So we are really kind of the major users of the facility. And they enjoy us being there. They're happy to see it being used as a church. They've expressed that to us. They've given us full approval to do whatever renovations we want to do. That's not a problem for them. We would seek at least a long-term lease agreement as a minimum coming out of that. But we're excited for the future, beloved. And so, again, the Lord said, I'm going to build my church, and He can and will do it. But he, and this is the mystery, right? I mean, God could do everything without us if He chose to do so, but for whatever reason, He calls us alongside, and He calls us to work and to labor with Him. And, you know, we think of even when the Lord brought Peter out of the prison that night, you know, when he was thrown in prison, you know, He opened the door for Peter, but Peter still had to get dressed and walk out on his own. For whatever, you know, the Lord calls us to work, and we have to surrender to that call and be willing to go where He calls us to go and to do what He calls us to do. And I think if we have so much opportunity, and I know you guys are doing a lot. I'm not suggesting you're not, by the way, okay? I'm just trying to encourage you that the Lord is still building His church today all over this world. Don't ever fear that, beloved. The Lord's word will stand. His promise is sure, and the church cannot be stopped. It doesn't matter what the government does. It doesn't matter what the mandates are. People still come to faith. And it doesn't matter whether it's Nazi Germany or Canada in 2023. I'm not equating the two. I'm just simply saying that whatever headwinds we're facing, it will not and cannot stop the work of the Lord Jesus. And He has built His church, and He's continuing to do so. And what a privilege and a joy just to serve alongside Him. Any quick questions at all that I could answer for you before we close this out? I would like to say, come and visit us anytime. We'd love to have you. I can't entice you with lobster because you already have that. We have snow crab fishery over there, but you probably have that too. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. We have a few that would come as far as from an hour away. But the one thing I wanted to share about Cape Breton, and you may not know this, Cape Breton is a complete mission field. There are more Christians in the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, than there are in Cape Breton Island. It is 1%. It is a complete mission field. And so many places with no witness at all. None at all. And so you might have to drive several hours before you could even find an evangelical church. Yes?
Is there anything in Port Huon or
No. No. Port Hood's a half an hour away. We draw people from that area, but there's no work there, no. No. So there's a huge need. And so we are the only evangelical church in our town. There's no choice. So if you know the Lord and you want to fellowship together, you got to come to us. And so we try to be very open with people, and we try to be as welcoming as we can. I mean, we got so many different people in our pews. We got Catholics and Brethren and Presbyterians and Baptists and Pentecostals, and you know, and the Lord has just blessed, and it's a very loving church family. We're so grateful for it. And yeah, so any other questions at all? But it's been just an incredible experience to see what the Lord has done, and it's His work. Absolutely. Yes, sir. And no, they don't. No, we've had them come for some special events, and they have really enjoyed that. Like when we do our Christmas programming, we've had some of them come, and they really love it. But no, we haven't. We've had a person show up a couple of times by mistake. They got the time mixed up and wound up at our service, and they stayed. and they said it was good. But no, we haven't seen that yet. Yes, sir. Not right now that yes and no, mostly no. We have a family that moved from Alberta to Neal's Harbor 2 years ago, and with a desire to plant up in that region. There are no churches. Once you get to Sheddy Camp, for those of you that know Cape Breton, 45 minutes up the Gulf Coast for me is Sheddy Camp. From Sheddy Camp all the way to Bedeque, which would take you 3 hours to drive, there's not a single church. And so this couple has moved into Neal's Harbor, and that entire coastline has several towns. One town, Inganish, as big as ours, 1,400, not a single evangelical work. You would have to drive hours to get to one. They're hoping to start a Bible study this fall and just see what the Lord will do. But they've already been working hard in the community, reaching out to people in practical ways, the way we've just talked. And they have an incredible reputation already, the things that they're doing for people. It's really beautiful to see. So they're hoping, I think, this fall is their timeline to kind of start just a home Bible study and see where the Lord would take that and see how that goes. But there's a huge need for future church plants. We have thought about that ourselves. You know, can we branch off and start something else? And we've thought about Port Hawkesbury. It's the first town you come to when you enter Cape Breton Island, a town of 4,500. It's a gateway community, and there is only a very small work going on there. There's huge opportunity to establish a Bible-believing church in that town that could then take off up the east side, the Atlantic side of Cape Breton Island. There's almost nothing from Port Hawkesbury all the way up to Glace Bay on the east side of Cape Breton Island. Nothing at all. Zero. So there's huge opportunities. Yeah.
How many people are in Cape Breton?
120 to 135,000, somewhere in that range. Over half would live in the greater Sydney area. Up Sydney, North Sydney, New Waterford, Glace Bay, up in that region. More than half would live up there, and so we're pretty sparsely populated. Yeah. Yes, Sydney has a decent number of churches, but even Sydney, though, for the size of the city, is underserviced. There's all kinds of communities that they would have to drive across town, so there's a huge opportunity even within the Sydney area for further church plants, because there's just not enough for the number of people that live there.
You told me a few years ago that all of Cape Breton had only 12 or 13 evangelical churches.
Yeah, I don't know the exact number now, brother, but there's not many. There's not many, really. You know, at one time, like 10 years ago, we would have said there would be maybe about 1,300 people in an evangelical church on Sunday in Cape Breton across the island. That number is going to be higher now for sure, but I'm not sure what it would be exactly. Yeah, it's not large, so it's in great need. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, about 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, boy, the years, I read a book on the history of evangelical churches in the Maritimes in general, Nova Scotia, PEI, you know, and if you go back 200 years, man, was this ever a different place. Wow. I mean, the Baptists, the Presbyterians. I mean, they were literally everywhere. In fact, the Baptists had a Bible college in Pictou, Nova Scotia. It's gone now. You know, there's no trace of it left. And there were churches all over the place. If you go back, and even on Cape Breton today, you can see those buildings that some of them still exist, but they're empty. And, you know, it's always amazed me, you know, what happened over those years. Because 200 years ago, like, there was a lot of churches everywhere. But times have changed and things have changed, right? And they've just disappeared. Yeah. So we're approaching that situation like Jesus was with his disciples in the first century, where it's almost an entirely pagan culture with no Christian memory. And Jesus is still building his church. So praise the Lord, beloved, for whatever the Lord leads us to do. Anything else at all? So we're excited, and it feels like we just started, and it's been 8.5 years, hard to believe, but it feels like we're just starting, and we're really excited to see what the Lord's going to do next as we follow his lead. So pray with us that we will remain faithful to God's word, faithful to him, faithful to his people, faithful to the lost, that we will love God extravagantly, that we will love one another, that we will love the people of Inverness in such a way that they will ask why and come to know him. Let's pray. Father, we just bless you for our time together tonight. And Lord, we're just grateful for all that you're doing in this world today. Lord, we often look at the church in terms of our own local context, and yet this is a very big world. And God, we know that you are on the move all over this world. Lord, we've heard the stories, we've heard the reports of what you are doing, Lord, even in countries like China and Iran, Lord, and all over this world, bringing people to faith, God, and your kingdom, your great kingdom work. And so, Lord, would you just encourage our hearts in the days in which we live? Lord, they are perilous times, Lord. There are real dangers. There are major headwinds against us, God. But, Lord, you are greater. And, Lord, help us to remember that, Lord, that nothing can stop you, that your promise is sure, your word will accomplish what you send it to do, Lord, and you call us to partner. So, God, encourage your people, or bless this church, God. It's so good to see the seats filled, and we just pray, Lord, you would just give them a rich ministry in this community here in Charlottetown, God, that they would continue to grow and to mature in the faith and reach out in ever-expanding ways. Lord, help us to see a little of what you are up to, God, in this world, and to just trust in you for all that we need and all of your great provision, God. So we bless you tonight, and Lord, we just thank you for our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, amen. Well, thanks again. It's great to see you guys.